on. There we are. Hey, again, give these guys a hand, please. Thank them. Man, it's so nice to have good musicians to... I got to find which one I got to take off. Y'all excuse me just a minute. I got too many wires up here. Yep, that's the right one. There we go. Welcome to Williamson County Cowboy Church. My name is Ricky Bowen, and I have been gone for about 3 or 4 weeks, and I am glad to be home, believe me. We hope that if this is the first time you're visiting here, we know that you had a choice today, that when you came. Do we have any new visitors here this morning? If you're a visitor, just raise your hand up and let us know so we can welcome you. We got several in here. Yeah, give them a big round of applause. Now, when you came in, they should have given you a packet that has a card in there that you can fill out and put in the offering bucket in a little bit. If they didn't, did they give y'all cards? Would you hold your hand up if you didn't get a packet? And the guys, hey, can y'all bring them? We've got one right here that didn't get one. So if you would, bring him a packet, please. And what we do with those cards when you fill them out and put in, we don't call you and harass you a lot. We call you one time. We want to check on you, see if there's anything we can do for you, if we can pray for you. And we want you to come back, and we hope that one thing that we do here at Cowboy Church, we don't have a doctrine. We preach the Word of God. And that's all we do. It's just the way it is. This is the truth. And so that's what, no matter if it's me or if it's Pastor Corey or if it's Howdy or it's Rusty, all we preach is the Word. So we are glad to have y'all here. Amen? Amen. Guys, y'all can go ahead and start passing those out. You know, today is a special day because it's Independence Day. And I think something from your childhood days in American history, for some of us, that's a long way to go. They're making signals back there at me, and I don't have a clue what it is. So, all right, we'll put that there. Guess I wasn't... Glad I got a haircut yesterday. It's pretty bad yesterday. So, as I was talking, even if you remember a little bit, because some of us have gotten a lot long in the tooth, as they say, compared to remembering history, 1776, July the 4th, was a big day for America, right? Yeah. And you know that our country was founded on Judeo-Christian beliefs. Man, thank you, Founding Fathers, for having that vision and that foresight to base our country on those. But I also am one of these that I like to look at the whole picture, because 1776 was very important. And in a minute, we're going to talk about another independence. But do we have anybody here that's a veteran or an active military duty? Because right now, our independence wasn't just won in 1776, y'all. Our independence has been won every day and every month and every year since then. And it's because of veterans and their families. So if you're a veteran, we would like to honor you right now. If you would just hold your hand up, stand up, because we want to give you a big round. If you're a veteran, stand up or... Yeah. Man, there's no words to tell you guys how much it means to me. And I can't speak for everybody else, but I can speak for me. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. May God bless you and your family and the things that you've done for our country, because I can't even imagine. I just can't even imagine. All right, well, let's move on. Here at Cowboy Church, our pastor, Corey, by the way, Corey and Jamie, they're in Wyoming right now. I talked to him 3 or 4 times last week. One day he was in Idaho, and then one day he was in South Dakota, I think, and then one day he was in Utah, or, I mean, like, every day he was in another state. So keep him in your prayers. He's out there ministering, and he's roping, and he's ministering to these cowboys. So please keep him and his family in their prayers. because he's traveling many, many miles right now. But our pastor, Corey and Jamie Ross, they don't take a salary at this church. And I know that for some folks that may be, you know, well, you know, y'all talk about this all the time. There's a reason for that. The reason is that Pastor Corey feels that if he doesn't take a salary, people don't think he's trying to get your money. Because here's the deal. He's not trying to get your money. And as a church, we are not trying to get your money. And if he doesn't take a salary, we can teach on tithes and offerings. We can teach the congregation how to operate in God's economy. Because let me tell y'all what. If you have not paid attention to the world right now, and you went and bought a two before, I believe I'd be living in God's economy instead of the world economy right now. Amen? I was at a furniture... Laurie and I went to a furniture store yesterday. And Laurie's dad's coming to visit us, and we just got moved in our house, and so we're trying to... We still got... My office needs something, and so we have a bed or something for her dad to sleep on when he comes to see us in a couple of weeks. And we're in there, and she and I have tossed around ideas, what do we want? And there was a futon in there. And if you don't know what a futon is, that's a glorious way of saying that it's kind of a couch that lays down. Okay? Well, it's kind of a space-agey, like, little thing, got silver legs, and it's kind of cool looking. The grandkids loved it. And so that we laid it down, and we all played on it to see how it played. I mean, that's what you do as a grandparent, right, Starla? And so we got up there, and I said, how much is that? $399. It's not bad for a futon. I mean, it is a good one. It wasn't bad. But we you don't have any others to look at. Well, no, and I'm not ordering any more till the price goes down. I started laughing. He said, because if I order that same one to replace it, if you buy this one, that one that's $399 right now in the store is $799 to replace it. And he told me, he said, I'm waiting till it comes down. I said, fella, you're going to be waiting a while. Because I don't really see it coming down. That's my opinion. However, I don't operate in that. I have learned that we operate in God's economy. When we learn that our giving is based on seed time and harvest. That's what the whole word is about, is seed time and harvest. No matter whether you sow finances, you sow your word, you sow your time, you sow love, you sow forgiveness, seed time and harvest. You're going to get it back. It comes back to you. The word says, pressed down, shaken together. Y'all flip over to 2 Corinthians real fast. Ooh, thank you, Jesus, for the word. Man, that stinking devil, he's been wanting to attack lately. Y'all know that? Have y'all noticed that in your lives? I mean, or is it just me? You know, I mean, the devil, he knows its time is short, y'all. But we can't give in. 2 Corinthians 8. I found this scripture. It's one that I haven't really ever used as a tithe message before, but Lord put this on me, and I'm like, man, I really love that. Because people struggle. People struggle with tithes and offerings, and what do I give? What is a tenth? What's a tithe? A tithe is the tenth of what you make. And then you have first fruits, and we won't get into that today, but it's all in here. It's good word, and it'll teach you what to do if you just look it up. But people really get hung up. Even believers that have been going to church a long time, they get caught up in, well, I have to give how much? But that's a lot of money. You know, and then there's people that don't necessarily make as much as somebody else. And they go, well, if I give a tenth of mine, then... The point is that when you start learning to give, it's not about comparing yourself to somebody else. People get so caught up in, well, yeah, old so-and-so, he told me they gave. Well, they shouldn't be telling you in the first place. Unless it's for, like we do that occasionally, if something happens, for teaching purposes. But I don't tell you very much about my personal finances. That's just, we don't do that. But we tell you how we operate. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want. So what he's saying is it doesn't matter whether you have a lot. You give according to what you have. Amen? Yeah, it's not saying that you give more than the tithe. However, we do know that if you give an offering above your tithe, and this is where you really want to tap into the Word says that it'll come back 30, 60, and even how much? 100-fold. See, y'all have been reading. Because that's something that you want to get in your heart. Is that, yes, the tithe is to help the church to pay electric bills. And to pay, well, this is the one, I mean, the most giving church I've ever been around. Our pastor, one of the most giving people you'll ever meet. I cannot tell you how many times I've been with him. The things I know of him and his wife giving people and not telling people. You see, that's why he knows that God is his provider. God is my provider. God is your provider. And when you learn to tap into that, into God's economy and not the world's economy, then, man, he'll bless your socks off. Amen? So with a big round of applause, come and give. Man, you can tell it's summertime. Our helpers are out. Oh, here they come. There they are. Oh, we're short on the other side over here today. Thank you, Jesus. For those of you visiting, we have our helpers. They just started this several years ago. And the kids come up and they make sure they all get in the bucket. Oh, we got one more over here. Are you good? You good? All right, give our helpers a big round of applause. Amen. See, that's raising them up right. That's understanding the importance of giving. Giving is an amazing thing because, man, when it comes back to you, you don't even know a lot of times when it happens. Hey, y'all stretch your hands out this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for all the giving this morning. Father, just bless them. Father, just everything they put their hands to prospers in the name of Jesus. We cause it to come back to them, pressed down, shaken together, running over so that no man's bosom can hold it. Father God, we thank you, praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And another thing that we do, y'all can go ahead, start passing them out. One thing that we do at Cowboy Church here once a month is that we do communion. Man, what a great time. Thank you, sir. Is this the one with the garlic on it?
Yeah.
Okay. Had garlic and cheese. Good. Good, good. You know, it's a real important time that we do communion. And we do it once a month. But you can do it at your house every day if you need to. And sometimes there are drastic measures that you need to do, and that can be one of them is communion every day. I mean, if you're going through something, see, this is a representation. And what we were talking about earlier about the 4th of July and our independence, the Holy Spirit led me in such a way as doing communion and then doing a message that I hadn't even planned on really having an independence message. And it's so amazing how the Holy Spirit is, because that's what it's coming out as. But you see, what we have to do is we have to remember that Jesus Christ died on that cross for our freedom. Our freedom, y'all. Our freedom that we know that if we confess with our mouth Jesus and we believe in our heart that He died and God raised Him from the dead, man, we're saved, y'all. We have eternal life. And that's the kind of freedom that you can look and see people that we deal with every day that don't know that freedom. You know, they talk about in foreign countries that people that don't have those freedoms. Have y'all bothered to look in America lately? Because they're not realizing the kind of freedom that Jesus Christ died for us to have. You see, when we learn to look at what He did for us, and that communion reminds us it's about a relationship with the Most High. As the Word says, we are a child of the Most High God. We are a blood-bought child of the Most High God. See, Jesus shed His blood on that cross for me. He bled it for you. And when we learn to get that in our hearts, it changes everything. It changes your day-to-day function. You see, you don't start worrying about that customer or whoever that came in and was ugly. No, Jesus shed His blood for me. But I'm sorry that guy's upset. But I'm not going to be ugly back to him. Jesus died for me. That's what this is about, y'all. That's about that covenant that we have. Amen? And I know a lot of y'all, because I end up doing communion almost every month. It just winds up my time to preach. But one of my most favorite things that it talks about in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, examine. This is a time that we're supposed to examine inward. That when we start remembering, because of His broken body, and this is in remembrance and represents the blood He shed for us, that it's a time that we look inward at ourselves and go, man, God, just touch whatever I don't know. Please show me in my heart what I need to fix. Amen? This represents His body, His broken body. Y'all eat. This represents the precious blood that He shed for us. The precious blood that we don't have to shed because He shed it for us. In remembrance, y'all drink. Father, we thank You this morning. We thank You for our freedom, for our country. But we thank You for that freedom that Jesus Christ died on that cross. And that we don't take it lightly. We don't take it lightly individually, and we don't take it lightly as a church. But we take it in our hearts. And we want that covenant with You, Father God. And we just thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. I think the littles are going out today. Is that right? And the big ones are staying in. So on the count of three, we're going to dismiss the littles. But y'all walk now. One, two, three. You're dismissed with a big round of applause. Well, man, it is good to be back. It's an honor to be back at church. You really realize that when you travel like we do, and we travel with Corey a lot, is how nice it is to be back home. And it's weird because we came to Bible study Tuesday night, and everybody goes, oh, y'all are back. And it's like, man, we've been gone almost a month. And it's wow. It catches up with you. So we are glad to be back. Just to let you know, if y'all haven't heard, while we were gone to Wyoming, we were with Corey at the College National Finals. And thank Ruby and Don Sanders went with us and helped. And Brandon and Katie were a big help there. But the first day, Laurie and Mom and Dad and I have been with Corey 8 years. We've been traveling with him for 8 years. We've been doing that service for 8 years. And that first Sunday morning in the enclosed arena is the biggest crowd we've ever seen in 8 years. And when you do a service like that, because we always do a prayer of salvation, you can't count fast enough when people hold their hands up. The best we could count was 15 to 20 people got saved the first Sunday. Woo! Glory to God. That's awesome. Man. And then we set up a tent starting on Tuesday, and people were saved Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night at the tent every night. And the biggest on Saturday, most people are gone because it's the short go, and they only, the top 10, I think, is it the 10? It's the college finals, it's 10. Or is it 15? I don't remember. But that, so everybody knows, everybody's already gone except for the ones that are in, that made the short go. And so that, and then they do a rehearsal for the leaders at the same time we have church. And it happens every year. I don't know why. So normally that church service on Saturday afternoon is not very big. And when we started, there was probably 40 people. By the time music was over, there was over 100 people in there for a Saturday afternoon church service. God's so good. If y'all don't know it, you should start looking around. God is so good. Amen? Well, this message, I'm going to title it, Don't Hinder Your Blessing. Now, some of y'all are probably going, well, what is that? Don't hinder your blessing. Well, I have a question, just, and it's just fun for thought for you guys. Do you have something you've been holding on to a long time? Like a, I don't know, 8-track tape or cassette tapes? Yeah, I see some of you laughing because you do. And you don't even have a player. Or you got that old t-shirt that's 25 years old and you don't really wear it, but it's in the drawer. Now, y'all gonna have to love me this morning. Well, y'all getting quiet early. Man. Cause I don't get me wrong. Remember, y'all know when we up here preaching, we're preaching to ourselves. I used to keep fiddle cords when one of them would break. I'd keep it just thinking I might need it later, just in case. I mean, it didn't work, but I don't know why I saved it. But when you move into a fifth wheel trailer, you get rid of stuff. Amen. When you move into that. So today, I want to talk about, first of all, this could be a two-part message, by the way. I'm just telling y'all up front. So you'll need to come back next time I preach if you have to see the second half of this. You never know. The first part is we're going to talk about you got to let go. Amen? Now, one of the problems with that is if you're holding on to something, how can God get you your blessing? Because most people don't stop and think about that. You see, all that people think about is I have all this different stuff. It's just like that person that you visit. Well, we all got them. We got friends that go, that you just be talking and you go, you know, you remember so-and-so? 20 years, he let the air out of my tire and I'm still mad about that. Really? It's 20 years and you're still holding on to somebody letting the air out of your tires. Amen? So we're going to talk about, in fact, you know, Rusty's been using props, so I thought I better try to keep up with him. It's pretty heavy. Okay. I'm going to have to get a volunteer. What did you roll your eyes for? You're a pro at rolling your eyes? Come on up here, Starla. Now, well, this is unrehearsed, and this is in no way personal. I don't even know, so this is just a demonstration, okay? Okay, so turn around and face them. So, when we talk about things that we hold on to, things in the Bible, I mean, things that God says don't do. I mean, let's take, for example, I was talking to a guy this week and he said, Ricky, he made me mad. But he said, now it says in the Bible that we can do that. I said, did you let the sun go down on your wrath? Because that's what the Bible says. No. I said, okay, you're good. So, let's see. I got some anger in here. Here's some anger. Hold your hands out. You're going to take both of them, I'm telling you. So that's anger. So she's holding on to anger, right? Oh, and then there is, well, you don't have much bitterness, so that's a little bit of bitterness there. Let's see. Oh, man, we got one. I got that old arthritis. I'm holding on to that illness and haven't let go of it for 30 years. Let's see what else we got in here. Oh, we got some anxiety and depression. That's pretty. Are you all right? It's not too heavy yet? Okay, let's see what else we got. Oh, we got some, I don't have enough money to pay the bills, I'm broke for a long time. You okay? Oh, man. Ooh, Jesus. And this is one that it's just got a bunch in it. I mean, it's got fear and unforgiveness and hate. And I mean, it's just, we could go on and on about this guy. Okay. If God wanted to bless you right now, could you receive that blessing? You couldn't. So if God wanted me to bless you, you couldn't take this blessing, could you? No, you couldn't. So, yeah, some of you are like, I'm dropping rocks. No, please don't, because I'll have to clean it up, okay? Here, put them up. Just put them right there. Oh, wait a minute, y'all. Look where she's leaving those at. God wants to bless you this morning. You know, when we start learning how to do that, see, our anger becomes joy. That's what God wants us to have, is joy. Our unforgiveness becomes love. Howdy preached on that last week, didn't you? Yeah. See, and then that anxiety and that depression and everything else that we get so anxious about becomes peace. A peace that passes all understanding. What are you holding on to today? Oh. Because God is trying to bless you. God wants to bless you. But if you're holding on to something, and it's just like what we did with communion. Examine my heart, God. You may not even know that you're holding on to something. And some of you may go, oh, well, now you think I know everything. But that one little thing that you've never let go of, you may be holding on to that, and God can't get His full blessing to you. Amen? Don't get quiet on me, y'all. Now, normally y'all are amen and everything else, and we ain't going there that much this morning. Y'all, come on. I'm going to build you up. I'm not tearing you down. Let's get fired up. Y'all turn to Hebrews. In Isaiah, it tells us to forget things in our past, to put away the former, to quit dwelling on the past. But in order to quit dwelling on the past, you have to do that, y'all. You got to get rid of the junk that you've carried. What do they call it? Oh, well, he's got baggage. Really? You know, when we learn to get rid of that old bag, things get a lot better. We're going to be in Hebrews 12. Help if I get in the right book. I'm like looking at that chapter 12, verse 1. I'm like, that doesn't really what I remember reading. Whew, thank you, Jesus. Corey's got another. Oh, those look like ladies' glasses. I better not borrow those. Oh, chapter 12, verse 1. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, listen to this. In the Amplified it says, therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth of that we have to have faith in order to let go of something. So what it's talking about here is that we are compassed by such great witnesses. It's talking about all the legends of the Bible, y'all. It's talking about David and the faith that he had when he went out there with that little old bitty rock. Or it's talking about Noah. You talk about having to have faith. Ooh, Jesus, build that boat. Or Peter, when he walked on the water. So see, there's great witness in the Word for us to learn from. We have to learn how to go there and learn from. See, that's the key. We talk about the Word, but are you going there? When you need help, do you do this? Do you go to this? Or do you go, "Hey, Bill, man, I tell you what, my wife..." Whew, I'm just kidding. I almost messed up, didn't I? Just kidding. So, are you going to the Word that is the truth? Are you calling somebody and complaining and whining about it? Now, there's one thing that we have friends that are mentors and that we call and say, "Hey, man, this or that or the other." But it's one thing when you don't turn to the Word and you get help. Amen? That's what that's talking about. We're compassed by great witnesses in the Bible that we are supposed to learn from. And it says, "Let us lay aside every weight." Starla just did that. That's what that's talking about. Let us lay aside every weight that is weighing us down. Every sin that is weighing us down. Every addiction. That's a tough one for some people. No matter what it is. Alcohol, drugs, tobacco, pornography. I mean, addiction is a tough thing, but you can't beat it. All you got to do is ask God for strength, and He'll give it to you. Amen? And it says that so easily beset us, and let us run with, from my last sermon a month ago, patience, the race that is set before us. Thank you, Lord, for the rain. Amen. You see, when we learn how to set that stuff down, then when things come against us, most of y'all know me. I'm a crier anyway. It don't matter. When the Holy Spirit does stuff to me sometime, it takes my breath away. Something that I hadn't even thought of, and it just led me there. It's that when we put our weight down, stuff starts coming against us. The devil is bringing back that, hadn't had a drink in a while. Or, there's a risque commercial on TV for somebody that is dealing with that. Or somebody that's having health issues that gets that, I got a new pain, or I got this or that. No. It says when we let that down and get rid of that, the Holy Spirit gives us the patience to deal with those trials. Whew. Thank you, Jesus. But what your job is to do is you have to tap into that. Because sometime we have to put it down again. Because some of us, once we put it down once and it comes back, then it's like, "I'm not letting go now. It's mine. Because, I tried and I can't do it. I can't get rid of it." And some of y'all have heard me tell the story about me and panic attacks in the 90s. And I can tell you one thing, it was before I was really in the ministry and in the Word. I believed in God and I knew I was saved, but that was the extent. And I had panic attacks so bad I couldn't even leave my house. And I was on the road playing music, and I'd get in my car to go meet the bus, and I'd get on the interstate and I'd have to turn around and drive straight back to my house. But I knew enough Because I played the violin in church, I'd heard the preacher talk about letting God have things. I pull over on the side of Interstate 20 just outside of Odessa one Wednesday afternoon because I was like, I got to go home. I can't do this. And I finally said, God, I tell you what, if it's my time, take me now because I can't do this anymore. And you know what? I drove on to the bus and I made that weekend just fine. And you know what? At times, I start getting it because the panic attack would hit me in my throat. And if you ever feel like your throat, or some of you may have experienced it, it always felt like my throat was swelling shut. It's the scariest thing I've ever been through in my life. And when that, and I go to the doctor, they shoot you up with epinephrine and get you running because that's what they do to fight swelling in the throat. And then they realize, oh, that really what it is. They give you another shot in the other arm of Valium, right straight in the vein. And you're like, woo. I'm like, gee, I'm telling y'all what. But God doesn't, He doesn't do Valium and adrenaline. God says, I got this, Ricky. You just asked me to do it. You just said, please take this from me because you can't do it anymore. That's what He wants us to do. And when I gave it to Him, like I said, about a month ago, I had that little twinge in my throat. I said, not today, you stinking devil. I've beat this for a long time now, and I ain't going back there. Why don't you start dealing with what you're holding on to that way? That's what the Word says. Verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, that the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. It says He's the author and finisher of our faith. We understand that, right? Jesus is the dude. He's the man. He started it and He finished it. We hold on to stuff like that He went to the cross and they pierced His hands and His side and He bled so that we don't have to carry junk like that. Yeah, thank you. Yes. You should be hollering to God right now. Thank you, Jesus. Man, I don't have to carry this junk no more. Yeah. But we don't think about that. We get so caught up in day-to-day stuff. Amen? You do. That's okay. Quit doing it. How can you quit doing it? Quit doing it. Right? I mean, there's not... I taught math and we had formulas for a lot of things, but that wasn't one of the formulas we had for. Okay? There's not a formula for quit doing it, but quit doing it. The Word will help you. See, that's the formula. The formula is right here. Because we just read it. It said, lay aside every weight. Everybody say, lay aside. Y'all are awake, aren't you? When we learn to lay that aside, and we realize that Jesus is the author and finisher of our faith, we don't have to do that, y'all. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Listen to this. Ye have not resisted unto blood striving against sin. Woo! Now, I'm going to let y'all hear it out of my new favorite. Let me find it here. So Hebrews 12:1 says, as for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. Man, see, we don't stop and think. We have all these people, like I said, that we can look up to, but that they're like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin will so easily fall into, then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has already been marked out before us. It's what the Word says. And I still refer, that's one of the best still things. I know Rusty's probably tired of it, but we're here for this time, y'all. That's what he said several months ago. We are here for this appointed time. That's what it says. I didn't make that up. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. Oh. So we're not supposed to just have little old faith over here. Little old faith over here. What did it say? Perfection. It leads us to having perfected faith. His example of this is because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his. That's why he died for us. He died because he knew we were going to be his. He endured the agony of the cross and conquered its humiliation. And now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse 3. Listen to this. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who opposed their own souls. Now I find that interesting because as I was studying this out, there's a verse that says, if God is for us, who be against us? Right here it's talking about people that were against themselves. So as I studied this out, the Holy Spirit shows me that if you're against yourself, and you know we put ourselves down, I say we collectively, I'm not pointing fingers at me because I don't do that. But I've heard people go, man, I'm so dumb or I'm so stupid. People that really mean it. People that go, I can't do that. Well, if you're against yourself, then guess who you're really against? God. Do you want to be against God? Ooh, not me. Take me out of that boat. You see, what we have to learn to understand is it said, if God is for us, who be against us? And if we're against ourselves, then we're being against God. That kills your blessing right there. Boom! It's gone. You can't get a hold of your blessing if you're not letting go of the weight. Everybody say weight. That's W-E-I-G-H-T. Weight. Amen? Boy, this is good. Hope y'all are getting something. If you're not, it's your fault, not mine. Verse 4. After all, you have not yet reached... Oh, wait. Let me finish 3. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who oppose their own souls so that you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressures. After all, you have not yet reached the point of sweating blood in your opposition to sin. And have you forgotten His encouraging words spoken to you as children? Oh my Lord, y'all. Right here, we didn't have to die and bleed blood like Jesus did. He did it for us. So when you go home this week and you start praying and believing about what am I supposed to do? Ask God. Okay? Everybody flip over to James. That's to the right. About in my Bible, it's 2 or 3 pages. You see, when we go home, I'm not going to be there with you. I mean, I'll be praying for you, but I'm not going to be there to help you. So when you have a problem, what do you do? James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. This is one of those things that will stifle your blessing. See, you're believing for something, and the devil starts trying to clog your mind. And then you kind of start going, having that doubt. That's what it's talking about. Is your faith doing? One minute your faith is way up here, you're riding high, or somebody comes along and goes, Sharon, you can't do that. What are you thinking? And then all of a sudden, her faith that's up here, if she's not strong in faith, which we know she is, she would go, get behind me, Satan, where you belong. Because you're not going to mess up my faith. You see, the devil wants us to have this because God doesn't want us to have this. God wants us to have that faith that's boom. You see, anytime comes against you, this is like what I was talking about with those panic attacks. Now, man, one starts coming against me, I go, no, baby, not today and not ever. And that's, I'm telling y'all, if you learn to talk to your stuff like that, make you feel a whole lot better. Amen. I mean, 'cause some of you go, oh Lord, we don't, it's like Corey says, we don't have to use all that King James stuff. Man, if y'all heard some of the way I talk to some of my stuff, y'all be going, oh, this guy's crazy. And I probably am. I'm crazy for Jesus. Woo! We should be. Makes my day go a whole lot better. You know, it's easier when people are having problems and you love Jesus. And you go, man, I feel bad for them. I mean, I'm glad that's not me. Right? Because when we learn to live the way we're supposed to live, life is good, y'all. Even at the worst point, life is good. Because then when something comes against us, nah, you can have that, God. I don't want that. Not going to. Not going to take it. You know, you play that game hot potato when you was a kid. That stuff comes against you. You go, no, nuh-uh. You get yourself out of here. Amen? You have to learn to speak at it. Whew. Boy, that's good stuff. I mean, for me it is. I don't know. Y'all may not be getting nothing out of it. Verse 7. For let not that man think that he shall receive. Here's an important place we're going. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Here he's, the scripture's talking about that if you have that wavering, you're not going to get anything. It just said, that man, let him not think he will get anything. However, the good news for all of us believers that our faith is way up here and we're not wavering is, in verse 7 it says, anything of the Lord. Well, see, I look at that as, he will give me anything. He will reward me. Right? Because in Matthew 21, and I want to read this out of the Amplified. Oh man, we got plenty of time. Plenty of time. If I can find Matthew. If you want to look in your Bible, it's Matthew 21. But I want you to hear it in the Passion. Matthew chapter 21. I'm going to start in verse 20, but I'm going to 22. Verse 20 says, he was talking to the disciples here. And it was right about the fig tree where he had talked to the fig tree. Fig tree lost that one. Astonished, his disciples asked, how did you make this fig tree instantly wither and die? Jesus replied, listen to the truth. Y'all get that? Everybody say truth. If you have no doubt of God's power, ooh, yes, and speak out of faith's fullness. You notice he didn't say faith's halfness or faith's one quarterness. He said faith's fullness. You can be the ones who speak to a tree and it will wither away. Even more than that, you could say to this mountain, be lifted up and be thrown into the sea, and it will be done. Everything you pray for, listen, for with the fullness of faith you will receive. Did y'all hear me? It says, everything you pray for, with the fullness of faith, you will receive. Now, if you look that word receive up in the Greek, it's an interesting word. One of the meanings is it says to attain. It also says that, my notes are all messed up. Hadn't even been going by me anyway. To accept. So just like Starla, she let go of the junk and she was able to receive, to accept that blessing that God wants her to have. But there was one other interesting little definition in there that I wrote down because I was really surprised me. And it said, receive in the Greek also means to be amazed. Woo-hoo! I don't know about y'all, but I like to be amazed. But here's the deal. Who wants to amaze us? God. Come on, y'all, that wasn't that hard a question. How many of you want to? I do. Man, it says you get things, if you believe, you'll receive those things. Whoo, that means that we're going to accept, and what we accept is amazing. Man, that fires me up. Because I love being amazed. And my God is so amazing. My God is more than enough. And that's what happens to people not realizing that when they get a hold of stuff like this, they think it's theirs. Because they don't realize that when you let go of stuff like this, God will give you something and you're amazed with it. My goodness. Woo! I hope that fires you up all week long and then into the month, into the next year. Because it fires me up. Okay, I'm starting to close, maybe. One thing that we have to remember is that it talks about, is we're talking about our faith. And faith is believing, right? Where does your believing start? Because the Bible said we know that we're made up of a soul, a body, and a spirit. Okay? We know it's not the soul. And believing says, like in Romans 10:9, it says believe in your heart. So that's where it starts, is in our heart. However, if you look, the heart is part of what? The body. You see, heart is an organ. It's flesh. That's not where your heart is, y'all. It's your spirit man on the inside. You see, so when we start getting a hold of this letting go of stuff, it starts on the inside of us. And then it manifests on the outside, on our flesh. But we have to, I'm going to use you as an example, just throwing this out here, so just go with me. She is one of the perfect examples of something starting on the inside and it manifesting on the outside. And I'll give you this, she is the most persistent person I've ever seen in my life. If you tell her she can't do it, oh my Lord, you better get out of the way. But that's how, and it's a good thing. But she didn't know I was going to do that, and I didn't know it, so till now. But I know, you can see it, it starts in here. And if she's working on something, and you know, I'm like, I'm done. You know, she goes, I'm going to finish this. Because it's coming from the inside. You can see it. That's what believing is. That's what believing is. Is that you can see somebody when they actually start believing, it manifests on the outside. Don't you want to be one of those? Amen. Don't you want to be one of those when you're out and about in this world, this day and time, and people go, oh. They look at you kind of, They want to know. I have more people now coming up and asking, "You're happy?" Amen. I'm blessed. You know it? I got a guy, I'm not going to tell you what store, but there's a store in Liberty Hill that I go to quite frequently, and he's the manager, and I always say, "Man, bless you. God bless you." You know what he does now? He tries to bless me before I bless him. He does, I kid you not. He sees me coming, he goes, "Hey man, how are you today? I'm blessed." But people will ask, when we start letting the believing on the inside of us start manifesting on the outside of us, people will start asking. You don't have to go, "Hey, listen to me. I'm trying to tell you I'm blessed." They're not going to receive that, are they? No. They might hit you back. You'd receive that, I'm for sure. Okay. Four important keys. This is my second closing. Four important keys to letting go, or to receiving God's blessing. I also call it accessing God's blessing. Number one, what we talked about, first of all, you got to let go. Amen? Because as long as you're holding on to something, you can't receive that and be amazed if you're holding on to it. I don't care what it is. "Well, my mom and dad, they treated me bad." Let it go. Just drop it. You're an adult now. You can let that go. It's okay. I mean, I'm not saying it was a nice thing or what they did was nice. But that was 20 years ago or 15 years ago. Let it go. Forgive them and move on. They don't probably even know that they told you couldn't wear that blue dress to school that day because it was too short. I don't know. But you've been mad at mom for that for 10 years. Let it go. Because we laugh. But if you hold things like that, that's exactly what's keeping you from receiving your full blessing of God. Amen? Number two. Be convinced that God wants to bless you. Laurie and I were having a talk the other day, and she was talking about somebody that she knows. And she told me, she said, they think that well, God doesn't have time for my little problems. I don't want to. That's not, to me, that's not being convinced God's for me. Right? See, we have to understand that God is for you whether you stump your toe and you say, "God, please, it hurts, and I know it'll feel better in just a little bit." He cares about every little scratch or whatever that we get. God cares. See, it's up to you. You've convinced yourself He doesn't care. So you have to be convinced that God really wants to bless you. In Colossians, it said that God qualified us through Jesus Christ to receive. There's that word again. To receive all. Everybody say all. We know what all is. It's what? All of God's blessing. That's what the Word says. I choose to believe. Amen? So we have to be convinced that God wants to bless us. Number three. This is real important. Because if you're believing for something, you should know what you're believing for, right? So know what blessing that you're believing for. I mean, you've got to know. You can, I mean, "Just bless me, Lord." You go, okay. And you might get a blessing, but you don't really know what you're expecting. I mean, what are you wanting? What are you needing? Is it healing? Is it prosperity? What is it? Is it relationship? Is it an addiction? But see, you have to be very knowing of what you're believing to be blessed for. It won't manifest. Amen? Fourth thing, and then I'm closing. Position yourself to receive the blessing. How do you do that? How do you position yourself to receive the blessing? Start declaring your blessing. Don't just know it. right? But start declaring, that's my blessing. Ooh, Jesus, that's my blessing. That's my blessing. It's mine. The Word says, I'm a believer. It's my blood-bought right as a child of the Most High God. It's what the Word says. I believe the Word. I believe all the Word. That's mine. Start declaring it. Start praising God for that blessing. God wants us to praise Him. That's part of that covenant relationship is God wants our praises. He doesn't need them, but He wants them. Amen? And when we pray, if you're praying that blessing, that's when we're in the full presence of God. Man, what a place. What a place. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, we're going to give you a chance. We never do a service without giving someone a chance to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And you say, to be saved from what? Well, hell. That's a real place. It says so in the Bible, and I believe it. That's the truth, the way, and the life. So if you've never accepted Jesus, we're going to say a prayer. And we're not going to ask you to come up front. We're not going to ask you to do anything silly. But we're going to have you pray right from where you're at. And we're going to say this prayer out loud, but you're not going to say it by yourself. We're going to have believers say it out loud with you. Because at the end time, at these end times, everyone needs this prayer in their heart to be able to lead other people to Jesus. It's of so importance that we get this in our heart. And we have the fullness of faith to go out and lead somebody to Jesus. So right now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, out of your mouth, believers too, I want you to say this. Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. And I ask you to come in and save me. I believe you died on that cross for me. And God raised you from the dead. Thank you, Father, that I can receive eternal life today in Jesus' name. Now, without looking around, everybody keep your head bowed and your eyes closed out of respect. If someone here just gave their life to Jesus, we're not going to ask you to stand up or anything, but we do. The Word says, don't be afraid to acknowledge Jesus before man, and He'll acknowledge you before the Father. So right now, we just want to get you a Bible. So if you just receive Jesus, if you just receive Jesus today, I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. We'll slip you a Bible, then put it right back down. One, two, three. Anybody? 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 All right, everybody look at me. Hey, we all going to heaven, y'all. Amen. Come on up, howdy. He's got my mic. Mic. He's got my mic. Mic.
The turn. There we go. Could y'all give him a round of applause? So thankful for Ricky. I bet the next time he says, I need a volunteer. Do I need to finish that statement? No. I got so much revelation from that. That was really good, dude. I mean, that was fantastic. I mean, there's two revelations I got. Number one is, when you lay stuff like this at the altar, if you think the devil ain't going to come pick it up and try to bring it back to you, you better think again. Because he will come pick those up, just like Ricky with panics. You know, he'll try to bring them. He's going to try to bring them back to you. Like, oh, you remember dealing with this? You know, you used to have this. You know, it felt so good to have this. Because the second revelation I got, you will build your whole life and make excuses in life based around the things that you carry. You'll say things like, well, I can't do that. I got arthritis. Or, I can't do those things because I've been sick or I've had cancer. And you'll build your whole life around it and make excuses based on those things right there. And if you don't leave it at the altar, it's going to keep coming back. It's going to haunt you the rest of your life. And every time you leave it, just know that you better be on your guard. The devil's going to try to bring that stuff back to you. Tell him you don't want it. It's too heavy. I don't want it anymore. Amen. Tell him you don't want it. And just trust that God, I'm telling you, trust God's going to bless you. Because he's going to bless you. Y'all get ready. It's coming, baby. It's coming. These blessings are going to be poured out. If the Holy Ghost is going to be poured out, that means the blessings are going to be poured out in these end times. So you open your heart. Open your mind. We pray for you guys. You know, every time before we come in here is to pray that you guys are open to receive praise and worship and receive the word, because you've got to receive what Ricky and Rusty and everybody else, what they minister. Just have your hearts open and get ready to receive, no matter how little or big it is. You know, even if angels aren't meeting you at night in your bedroom and, you know, telling you to wake up, I got to talk to you, you know. And just because you ain't seeing big things don't mean big things ain't happening. They start with little things. And if God can trust you with the little things, he start giving you the big things. Amen? We good? All right. Well, all y'all know, Ricky doesn't receive a, you know, he doesn't get an offer or a salary here. So if you want to bless him, y'all feel free to bless him in this bucket right here. If you haven't put in your offering yet, put them in those buckets. But this bucket right here goes directly to Ricky. If you want a tax receipt at the end of the year, get an envelope, put your name on it, put your address on it or whatever. But, you know, and don't make checks, okay? Some people have made the mistake of doing this. Don't make the checks to the church, to WCCC. Okay, don't do that. Make them directly to Ricky Bowen Ministries, okay? So keep that in mind, okay? So if you want to bless him, after we're done, we get out of here, you can come up here and, you know, put the offerings in the bucket, okay? But if you want a tax receipt, get one of those envelopes, fill it out, okay? All right, we good? All right, y'all stand to your feet. Let's get out of here. Good times. Lord, we love you. Thank you for a wonderful day. Thank you for blessing us, Lord. We are so honored that you would choose to be with us and go with us. And Lord, we know and we believe by faith that we can leave everything at the altar that does not belong to us. Whatever does not belong to us, whether it's fear, doubt, or unbelief, Lord, we leave it at the altar. We don't want it anymore. We know that you can handle it. We don't want it anymore. So we choose not to walk in faith and doubt, fear, doubt, and unbelief, Lord. We choose to walk in faith from now on. We leave everything on the altar today. When we walk out of here, we're going to be better than when we came. We love you and honor you for all that you do for us, in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. See you later. Talk to you later.